Amen. Yes. Our God is standing by. Yeah. Amen.
Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen. Some got into them today. Amen. We thank God for this day. The privilege of just waking up this morning. Started us on our way. We thank the Lord for this choir leading us in songs of praise today. Amen. We thank you for being here. It just wouldn't be the same if you didn't show up. And we thank God for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. You may not thank him for the ugly right now, but when he pulls you through, you'll find out that the Lord can bless you at all times. Amen. Amen. I want to share with you today the book of Psalms, Psalms 34. Psalms doesn't have chapters, it has divisions. Psalms 34. I want to look at a portion of that, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 8. Now I'll be reading out the English Standard Version. It reads in this way: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him and are radiant, and their faces should never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes his refuge in the Lord. Amen. Thank God. That was blind boy that was sitting at the foot of a building on some steps. He held up a sign. The sign read, "Please help me, I'm blind." There were only a few coins that he had at his feet. People were walking by, giving him some spare change. A man walked by. He took some coins out of his pocket and he threw them into the hat. And then he took the sign and he turned it around and he began to write on the sign some more. And he put the sign back down so that people could read the sign as they walked by. And as the day went on, more and more people began to put more and more change in the blind boy's hat. That afternoon, the man who had taken his sign and put change in his hat came by to see how the blind boy was doing. And the boy recognized the man's footsteps. And he asked him, "Are you the one that wrote on my sign and gave me some change?" The man said, I'm that one. And he said, "Well, what did you write on my sign?" He said, "I simply said the truth. I said what you said, but I just said it in a different way." He said, "Your sign said, I'm blind, will you please help me? But what I wrote was, today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it." Both signs told the people that the boy was blind, but the first sign said just that he was blind. But the second sign told a deeper story that he was blind, but you should be thankful that you're not. The moral of the story is be thankful for what you have. Be thankful and be creative. be innovative, think differently and positively. When life gives you 100 reasons to cry, show life that you have 1,000 reasons to smile. Face your past, handle your present with confidence. Prepare for the future without fear. Keep the faith and don't worry. Catch yourself when you start complaining about what you don't have. Instead, have a heart of gratitude, for until you learn to be grateful for the things you have, you won't receive the things you want. Learning how to be grateful is a daily practice, because being grateful when everything is going well is the easy part. But how are you grateful when life gives you lemons? How do you stay grateful when your life begins to fall apart? When sickness strikes, or the bills can't get paid, when you find yourself trapped in a legal system that don't really care much for you, or when death visits your family, how do you stay grateful then? Oprah Winfrey had a segment on the internet that talked about starting a gratitude journal, where she writes down at least 5 things she's grateful for every day. And she does this as a daily practice, a daily discipline. She goes throughout the day looking for things big and small to be thankful about. I first heard about this during the educational portion of my rehab. And the teacher talked to us about how being thankful has a positive impact on your mentality and gives positive health benefits for your life. Now, that shouldn't be any earth-shattering, groundbreaking news. But sometimes we just forget about all the good things that God has placed in our lives, because we're so busy trying to manage the crisis in our lives and trying to manage the crisis in other people's lives. Now, that may seem as if you don't have anything to be thankful for at all. But what I like about Oprah's segment was that she reminded me of what I was taught in church through prayers of thankfulness. Oprah pointed out that no matter how big or small it was, she would actually write down in her journal things she was thankful for that day. Things like just seeing some fresh flowers on the table, someone holding the door open for her, things like a safe landing when the airplane comes back in town. It reminds me of the prayers I'm used to hearing in the church when we tell God how thankful we are for God's daily provisions, things that we may overlook in the midst of a crisis, but if those things weren't given to us by God, we would be in a whole nother set of trouble. Things like food on our table, a roof over our head, shoes on our feet, and clothes on our back. Thankful for a portion of health and strength. What Oprah was teaching on the internet, I got in church growing up, and that's an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude has a way of making you see the positive even in the negative. It'll help you see the opportunity in disappointing times. It will give you vision for the future, because an attitude of gratitude helps you to be able to see what other people miss. An attitude of gratitude pushes you to see God working on your behalf even when everyone else thinks your story is over. It can change the atmosphere, because that kind of attitude is contagious and it produces good fruit. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul said these things in the middle of a church fight between 2 saints, because he knew if there was going to be any resolution, it wasn't going to come out of any negativity, not out of any fighting or pointing fingers, but on remembering what you have to be thankful for together. That's why today I just want to talk about an attitude of gratitude. In our text, David is remembering how he was on the run from King Saul, but he found safety with another enemy, a Philistine king named Abimelech. David acted as if he lost his mind and was driven out by Abimelech instead of being killed by him. And when David thought about how close he was to death in that moment, he says, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." But that was personal to David. When David thought about what God had done for him, it caused him to praise God. But he only could praise God when he thought about what God had done. When he meditated on these things, you have to give yourself some time to think about what God has done for you. Be deliberate and don't just say it, but write it down. So when trouble comes and you have a hard time thinking about anything good going on in your life, you can remind yourself of what God has already done. And if he did it before, then he can do it again. This is David's personal testimony of what God would do. And you may need a personal testimony of your own, but just take some time and think about what God has already done for you. He woke you up this morning, but somebody gave you a bad report, and you ain't even supposed to be here. He got you out of that trouble, and it was all your fault, but God protected you from seen and unseen dangers. You got in that relationship, and when you got too far in and you couldn't get yourself out, the Lord made them leave you alone because you couldn't leave them alone. You just need to be honest with yourself and think about what God has done for you. You couldn't pay your bills, you're overdrawn, but the Lord showed up right in the nick of time. You just need to think about what the Lord has done for you. You got the job and you was underqualified, but favor ain't fair. God did it for you anyway. If you just take some time to think about what God has done. When David thought about what God had done, it didn't just cause him to praise God, but it also caused him to invite other people to praise God as well. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." David said, if you can't praise God for yourself, just listen to what he's done for me and praise him because how he took care of me. We know how to celebrate and remember how God blessed others and that his blessings have a ripple effect in our lives. It's Memorial Day weekend. We celebrate soldiers that have passed on. Gives time to be thankful for the sacrifice, service, and contributions of other people. People like the Buffalo Soldiers, a black regime in the American Army following the American Civil War. People like the Tuskegee Airmen, a black group of pilots who fought in World War II. Every funeral where a soldier is being eulogized. Our own Brother Langford turns that service into a memorial service of its own. And he causes us to take the time to remember our deceased loved ones' sacrifice, service, and contribution. Well, if you can praise a soldier on Memorial Day that have gone on and done some great things for us, surely you can praise someone that's still fighting for you today. I'm talking about how Jesus intercedes on your behalf when you can't fight for yourself, how he confused every scheme of the devil set against you, how he takes care of you, how he provides for you, how he watches over you, how you can sleep because he never sleeps, nor does he slumber. If you can shout
for what somebody else has done. Shout for somebody who's doing for you when you can't even do for yourself. When he thought about how God took care of him, David said, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from every fear. Those who look at him, look to him, are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. But someone may say, that's your testimony. I'm not anyone special. I'm really of no consequence. God doesn't see my situation. David said, I'm going to cause you to shout too, because my God cares about all of his creation. He says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his trouble. That's something to be grateful about. You can never be so low that God won't come see about you. You can never be so high that God can't come and see how you're doing. No matter where you find yourself in life, God is already there. You may think God don't care about you, God is overlooking you, but God cares about all of his creation. That's something to shout about today, because if he cares about the high and he cares about the low, that means he got all his bases covered. There ain't no reason why you shouldn't give God some praise, because he cares for you. Bible says you can cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Whosoever will, the Bible says, let that one come. David said, if that doesn't give you hope for your situation, you need to know how special you really are. For the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers him. He'll even send somebody to come see about you. Sometimes you need something tangible to give you hope. Sometimes you need something you can touch, feel, and smell to be a model for what God will do for you. He said he even puts his angels around you. Now, I know some of y'all are in the spiritual realm, but don't you know we entertain angels unawares? That they'll even come in some human forms and take care of you? David did what we should all do. He used himself as a model in order to praise the Lord. He used his life as a reason to praise God. Follow me as I follow Jesus. I wonder how many of us can say, be like me. I wonder how many of us can say, I may not be what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I may not be perfect, but if you follow me as I follow King Jesus, you'll get better and better every step of the way. I wonder how many can say, look at me and see what the Lord will do for you. I might have fell down, but the Lord picked me right back up. I might have made some mistakes, but the Lord kept me in the midst of it all. I might have got sick, but the Lord is still a healer. I might have lost my way, but the Lord is still a way maker. David just said, look at my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you'll find out that God is real. You ain't gotta always like you act like you got everything all together, for the Lord shows up even in your mess. David said, blessed is the man who takes his refuge in the Lord. You can find shelter in the Lord, refuge and protection in the Lord. The Lord will cover you your mistakes. The Lord will humble you in your good times. The Lord will give you a reason to say thank you, Jesus. He'll give you a reason to turn your eyes toward the Lord. But have you sought him as your refuge? Can't nobody protect you like King Jesus. Can't nobody take care of you like King Jesus. The Bible says he'll even make your enemies your footstools. Can't nobody do me like King Jesus. He'll even protect you from yourself because he just loves you that much. Then he said, taste and see that the Lord is real. You ain't got to take my word for it. You can just try them on your own. Just taste and see. After all of the evidence was given, after all of the testimony was provided, he said, well, if you still don't want to believe me, the Lord will give you a reason to praise him. Why don't you just try them for yourself? I dare you to try them for yourself. I dare you to do it his way. I dare you to try what the Lord would do for you if you put him first in your life. I know you think you won't have no fun, but just taste and see. I know you think paying your tithes won't cover your other bills, but I'm just gonna tell you, taste and see. I know you think that you gotta listen to all of your friends, but they in the same shape you in or worse. I'm just gonna tell you, why don't you taste and see? I know you got a bad report, but have you tried God? What did the Lord say? Will you just taste and see that the Lord is good? He'll take care of you. He'll take care of them. He'll take care of us. If you just try the Lord at his word. When you think about what the Lord has brought you from, there's a story in the Bible. A woman that got caught in an adultery of sin. Men brought this woman, laid her at Jesus' feet, and they was talking about stoning her to death. And that story, one version of it says, the Lord just bent down, began to write in the sand with his finger, and as men around began to look at what the Lord was writing, it said, they slowly began to leave, from the oldest to the youngest. There's been a whole lot of talk about what the Lord was writing down in that sand. Some believe that he was writing down the sins that some of those men had done, and because the men who were older had probably done more wrong because they had more opportunity, it said they began to see theirs and quickly said, well, shoot, I got 4 out of 5 and he still ain't done writing. I really don't have much to say. But it took the younger guys a little longer to see theirs. They could probably justify theirs a little better than anybody else. But I wonder who would shout first, the young folk or the old folk? If the Lord began to write in the sand how he delivered them from all hurt, harm, and danger, I would imagine them same old folk that left first would be the same old folk that would shout first, because they got a longer record with what the Lord would do in your life if you just try the Lord at his word. I may be wrong, but I would imagine those that had more walk with the Lord would have more reason to shout about what the Lord has done. That's if you ever tried him. Will you try him today? Will you try the Lord today? I remember when I turned my adult self back over to the Lord, and I was so angry at God before then, because I thought that the Lord was supposed to take care of me if I said I was Christian, if I went to church sometimes, if I gave him some spare change after I got done partying and having fun,
I might not even have spare change, but whatever I had, I was going to give it to the Lord, my spare change. And because the Lord didn't do what I thought the Lord should have done, I felt like the Lord didn't keep his word. I remember I turned my life back over to the Lord, and I said, now that I got Jesus in my life, I ain't gonna mess up no more. I got the Holy Spirit in me now, and I ain't gonna cuss no more. I ain't gonna steal no more. I ain't gonna lie no more. And why y'all laughing? Some of y'all had that same conversation. I'm gonna leave them women alone. I ain't gonna mess with them no more. Some of y'all men, I guess. And before I hit the front door, I had to say, okay, let's do this over. Let's start again. Let's do this over. Let's start again. Day three, let's do this over. Let's start again. I get to work. Let's do, okay, do-overs. I worked with difficult kids. They would cuss you out. And then the Bible says, even what goes to your head can cause you damage. And I might not have said it, but God knows I was thinking. And I said, well, let me start it all over again. Then I got angry and said, well, why can't I do this by myself? Didn't I turn my life over to the Lord? Ain't I filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't I call Jesus my Lord and Savior? And this is what I found out at an early age. Just because you belong to the Lord don't mean that you are an independent agent. You got to always depend on the Lord. And at any time you think your plan is better than God's plan, you're going to fall into some trouble. Even in adult years, sometimes I want the Lord to bless my plan. And the Lord, I have to tell me, it's my way. Are no way. It's always God's plan. We open up the doors of the church today. My invitation to you is that you taste and see that the Lord is good. So we're led in this musical selection. Let us stand together. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But hear me now. It's not just in lip service. It's not just in what you say. You may be able to fool me, but you can't fool the Lord. It is a change of heart. It's a true confession, not a false confession, that you believe the Lord is the way. This is your invitation today. How will you respond? The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. How will you respond? There's room. Is there another?
Yes, since that day.